Good to go.
I'd like to call to order the April 5 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. At this point, we're only expecting one person on the phone?
That's correct.
Okay. All righty. As far as getting through the preliminaries, we want to have an adoption of the agenda. I assume you guys have had the opportunity of reviewing the agenda. Any comments, feedback? It's a full one tonight.
I motion we adopt the agenda as written.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All right. And then as far as the minutes from the March 1st meeting, assume also you've had the opportunity to review. Any comments, feedback?
Based on my review of those minutes, I motion that we adopt the minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So we have an opportunity for public comments. Bill, did you have anything to add at this point?
Well, I guess I was just looking for direction. If my negotiations with an across the street neighbor don't result in better housekeeping, is there some sort of official avenue to file a complaint, I guess?
Can you elaborate on?
Referring to is a lot of cars, a lot of garbage across the street from our property, very close to M Street, and boy, I could use some strong housekeeping.
That's really a question for John.
Yeah, John, is that something that you could check into?
It certainly is, yes, sir.
Could you give us the address, please?
Yeah, I wish I could. The formal address is on the north end of the boardwalk on Atlantic Avenue, the couple small houses, and really, I'd rather, I'm not officially making a complaint, I'd rather just deal with it one-on-one and try and talk it out, but I just wondered if there was a formal mechanism through the zoning, planning and zoning to file a complaint, if it gets to that.
All right, well, John Batson, our building inspector, is here with us. John will go by and kind of assess the situation, and then, John, what would be next steps after that?
Well, if he could give me a call tomorrow, I'd be happy to talk to him about it.
Okay. So, Bill, could you give John Batson a call tomorrow?
Yeah, that'd be great. I've got a pen. I'm ready to take the telephone number.
910-458-6535.
Doesn't look like you got that. Did you get that number, Bill?
No, I don't. I didn't hear if you were speaking.
It's 910.
458. 6535.
Perfect. 910-458-6535.
Yes, sir.
Hey, John, I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Thanks
a lot.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, so moving into old business, and again, this agenda is going to be full tonight given the work that's been underway for the last several months and then getting a chance to hopefully try to finalize things this evening. We start off with the Chapter 15 review. And Joe, are you opening up comments on that?
I'm going to present that, but Jim's going to open up.
Okay.
Joe and I are going to tag team on this. I'll start it off, pass it over to Mr. Barlock, and then he can pass it over to me. A couple of preliminary points. Mr. Barlock noticed some other things that need to be, other revisions, some tweaks that need to be made. Let me start again. We're at the review and report stage of these text amendments. That is, by code and statute, planning and zoning looks at them, adopts a motion of whether to recommend council adopting them or not, and then adopts a consistency statement. Then they go on to council from that point on. Heretofore, it's been a discussion item. Tonight, it's review and report. Point one. Point two, Mr. Barlock found some tweaks that need to be made, but they're minor enough that I think we can go forward with the review and report. And so if the motion is to approve, not to approve, but to recommend adoption of these text amendments, it would be the adoption of the text amendments as revised by the commission tonight.
Okay.
The third thing I would say is if you, when I pass it to Mr. Barlock, he will mention those tweaks that I just referred to. And when he passes it back to me, I'll mention some of the two or three things that I changed, which he doesn't seem to have a problem with, thank you. And then my final point is this. If you look at the first page, I started this document after a day after oral surgery, and I was on pain medication. And if you look at the title, proposed syntactical test amendments, I think that's reflective of the pain medication I was on. And it's an embarrassing error because the syntactical nature of it is to mitigate against grammar typos and misspelled words. I apologize for that. But as a counterpoint, or as two counterpoints, I would say that one counterpoint, actually, I was relieved to find that my contributions to Chapter 15 through the years, I don't think had any syntactical revisions, so I was real pleased that I, unlike the title here, I'm pleased that my previous work passed Mr. Barlock's muster. So let Joe walk through his tweaks, and then I'll take it from there.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to take you through what we've done with this. The effort started, you know, basically to clean up. It was mainly editorial, syntactical type changes. I started with Chapter 15 because that's what we use. That's our chapter. But as most of you know already, this project will be expanding to the other chapters of the code. But we're not reviewing that right now. I initially presented my changes, my questions, my comments at our December 7th of 2022 meeting. We went through all the comments. We resolved the ones that we could. Some were assigned to John Batson to review, others to myself. And then we took comments at that meeting. I met with John afterwards. And then in the January 23 meeting, we also went through the changes that had been made from December to January. And once again, there were more comments and there were some more follow-ups between John and myself, and also in conjunction asking Jim a few questions throughout there. Those were incorporated. And since then, it's been incorporated into what you have in front of you, which is the text amendment redlined edition, which shows all the changes that we're talking about presenting in this text amendment. As Jim mentioned, there are a few, and I'll point them out as we go through. Now, we've gone through all of these changes before in one of these previous three meetings. So I think as we go through page by page, I'm not going to read everything. I'll just ask if there's any questions or anything that anyone needs to discuss on those changes. So we'll start that starting on page 7 of 63 of the agenda with definitions. And I'll give her about a few seconds. If anybody has a comment, please bring it up. But you see the change in the red or... pretty simple there. On page 8, there is one of the new changes that is not shown in your packet. If you look at billboard, the definition of billboard, the parenthesis statement at the end of that, see definition of sign below, that will be stricken out and deleted. So the last statement on billboard. And the reason that happened is because we did pull up the definitions out of the sign section and put them into the definition section here. So that was applicable when it was in the other section of the text. No longer applicable.
Mr. Barlock.
Yes, sir.
On the working copy you provided me with, you
down here.
That's just information for you. Because then what Jim is talking about, the section 1540.060V actually says that billboards are prohibited in any district. So we're given a definition of a billboard, and then later in the code, we're prohibiting them. But that's okay. It's all right to define it. I don't see any issue with that.
In fact, I think it's important we define it.
To define it, yes.
If we prohibit it.
Okay, let's go on with page 9. Page 10. I need to have a discussion here also, because the next item on the agenda, where we're dealing with the permitted uses, we talk about one family house and single family house, but we only define single family house in our procedure. So just to mention that now, and then to carry that forward to the next text amendment, Jim, we need to pick one family or single family, what we're going to call it, but we can't call it both and only define one of them.
Where are we, Mr. Barlock? I note that on my working copy, you made a deletion for freestanding sign. I just want to make sure that that parenthetical comes out.
No, I'm not up to that yet. I'm on the D.
Yeah.
Single family dwelling. And there was no change syntactically to that. However, in reviewing your text amendment that will be presented later, I noticed that we call the dwelling both a one family and a single family.
Is this in letter D section? Because I don't have that in the working copy. But is that where we are alphabetically, D?
It's, yeah, 10 of 63.
And then dwelling, comma, single family. That's what I'm talking about.
There. Yes, we have dwelling modular, dwelling multifamily, dwelling prefab, and then dwelling single family.
Could you be looking at this, page 4 or 41?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yep, and then 10 of 63
page
as far as the agenda.
Page 10 of 63 in the agenda.
Yeah.
I didn't print the agenda. The copy that you and I looked at, that page is omitted, so I'm looking for something else. Let's just go with one, unless John has an objection, because we use two quite a bit.
Okay. So we're going to call it dwelling, comma, one family.
John, you good with that?
Yeah. I mean, I would use them interchangeably anyway.
Yeah. The intent is to just have at least it referenced here, just in one way, so it's defined properly. Mm-hmm.
So then that means that the location of that definition needs to move up one above dwelling prefab, right, in order to be alphabetical.
Yep.
You have that, Jim?
Let me pause for a second, because just give me a second to catch up with you all, since I'm looking at three different documents right now. So the first one is billboard. We take out the parenthetical, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Is the dwelling the second one that we're dealing with? Did we do something after billboard before we got to one or single family dwelling?
No.
No, this is the second change.
All right, so we're going to make dwelling single family into one, and we move that up to above dwelling prefab, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I'm caught up, thank you.
Okay, that's it for that page. Going to page 11 of 63. Freestanding sign. This definition was moved from the sign section up to the front definition section. And one comment that John and I had discussed previously when it was in the sign section was to remove the last sentence. Ground sign does not mean billboard, because that has nothing to do with the statement at all. So ground sign does not mean billboard, comes out of there.
Okay.
And that would be the third change. That's it on that page. All right. Page 12. No comment.
Can we... Yeah, I'm looking at a different document. Which one are we talking about?
6 of 41.
6 of 41. Which item?
The freestanding sign.
Well, that would have been the preceding page. So it would have been 5 of 41.
Joe, what's on 6 of 41? What did you say? No comment about?
There, I had no comment on 6 of 41. My comment was on 5 of 41.
Okay, I got it.
Yes,
you're not referring to a text amendment. You're just saying you don't have any tweaks to make to that.
Correct. On page 6 of 41, I have no tweaks. On 7 of 41, I have no tweaks. 8 of 41, I have no tweaks. 9, I have no tweaks. 10, I have no tweaks.
So. Now, these are all taking definitions that were already in there, just tweaking the wording a little bit, right?
Yes, the ones were moved from the back to the front. I mean, you see all the changes there, so...
The red's changes.
Right, no.
The discussioners changes to the changes.
What I'm saying is that the original signed ordinance had the definition of signs in it, so we're removing that from there and putting it into
and putting it here. That's why you see
but without changing any of the language.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. What was I? Shingle suspended sign. On page 12. Now, here's one where language did change, Greg. For shingle slash suspended sign, previously it was shingle sign and there was no definition of suspended. But talking with John and the discussions of what a suspended sign was, it's basically the same thing, so we made it shingle slash suspended.
But other than that, no tweaks on this page?
Correct. Other than that, there were nothing changed. Page 13, no changes.
I do have one question on this.
Okay.
Striking bed and breakfasts out of tourist lodgings. Why? Bed and breakfast is a definition and under state law. And I'm kind of curious why we strike bed and breakfast under tourist lodging.
I know one reason was we don't have any bed and breakfasts.
Well, we could. I mean, somebody could come in and do a bed and breakfast here, and they'd have to follow the rules under the state law. So I would recommend that we keep bed and breakfast as part of the definition for tourist lodging.
Then we need to define it, which was the original comment. It was used bed and breakfast, and we did not define bed and breakfast.
Bed and breakfast, I believe, is defined under state law. You know, there's a separate set of requirements and things like that. So, I mean, we don't define boarding house or rooming house either. So all I do is suggest we keep that and bed and breakfast in that definition.
Yeah, rooming house actually is defined.
Boarding house is designed.
Yeah, but if you look at the preceding page, rooming house is there.
Well, we can define it and grab the definition out of the state, but I mean, certainly bed and breakfast is a tourist lodging, and, I think we ought to have that within that particular definition of tourist lodgings.
Mm-hmm. To me, that makes sense as well. I mean, just because we don't have one today doesn't mean we wouldn't in the future.
I have no issue either way. It's just that's just the way that we decided to go when we met.
And Attorney Eldridge,
yes, sir.
Would it be possible just to, if we left bed and breakfast in, can you then just reference it as defined by the state? Or do we have to spend time actually researching that?
Before I do that, I'd like to know that there was a statutory definition rather than have it represented. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure of the statutory definition. I do know there's requirements under state law for bed and breakfast. So
Do you recall what chapter?
No, I don't. I could, why don't you move on and I'll just go ahead and check on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll come back to that.
We're going to come back to that. Remember to come back to that. Okay. So now we're on travel park. I'm going to catch up because I have two documents also. Okay, no comment, no, nothing additional on page 14. Page 15, nothing additional. Page 16, nothing additional. 17, nothing additional. 18, nothing additional. 19, nothing additional. 20, nothing additional, but just a comment. The entire permitted uses section of chapter 15 is being revised in parallel with this. But that won't be out for several months till after this is already through. So the red changes that you see in this section of permitted uses will stand in this change that I'm presenting today, but later will be undone in the permitted uses change. As an example, 15.14.020, you'll see the red change and special uses. The reason that's added is because if you look down to the definition of colleges, it requires a special use permit. But when we take that colleges out of there, because RA2 is not going to have colleges in the future, then we no longer need the special permit in there. So it's just an explanation of what's going to be undone later, but it stays now because it is applicable to today's wording. Okay.
Before we get too much further, if we can go back to bed and breakfast for a second, I forget what, 415, I think?
Yeah, it's there's gender statutes, 130A.
Yeah.
There's reference, yes. 248.
Yep. 248, I've got 247.
Yeah, 247 to 250 is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where they talk.
Let's get to the page first.
13 of 41.
Thank you. The statutory definitions for Part 6, Regulation of Food and Lodging Facilities, provides definitions for bed and breakfast home, bed and breakfast inn. Bed and breakfast home means a business in a private home of not more than 8 guest rooms that offers bed and breakfast accommodations for a period of less than 1 week and meets other requirements. Bed and breakfast inn means a business of at least 9 but not more than 12 that offers bed and breakfast accommodations. Bed and breakfast by itself is not defined. So if you want to keep it, you need to tell me, do you want the home definition or the inn definition or both, or simply reference as defined by Part 6, Chapter 138. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, are you ready? Jim, you ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. I forgot what page we're on.
21 of 41.
Thank you.
Okay. So on 21, I have no additional changes.
And then, so in preparation for this being passed on to council, so Jim, how do we make Joe's point that he just made on permitted uses clear?
I don't know.
We don't make that point.
We don't have to make it.
Leave permitted uses alone,
mm-hmm.
And we implement the Barlock amendments without changing permitted uses. Council's not going to get permitted uses for 3 or 4 months.
Right.
So let's keep the code current, and then when we get to permitted uses, we'll make the change again. A little bit wasteful, perhaps not as efficient as it could be, but I think as a practical matter, that's the way we ought to proceed.
And if somebody on council had a question regarding any of this permitted uses stuff, why is this still in here, we would just answer it that way.
Yes. That we looked at this aspect of permitted uses at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to take out the there may be some current text that makes the tweaks that we're doing here necessary.
The current text makes these tweaks necessary. Okay. Nothing additional on 22, nothing additional on 23, 24, 25, all through the permitted uses. 26, we get into supplemental. Catch up with myself. There is actually a paragraph that is not printed in these changes because it wasn't changed. However, 1530.030, one change that needs to be made is the word an, changed to the word a. I don't think anybody would have an issue with that.
What page are we on?
Yeah, where are we?
Jim, we're on one of my edited pages that I gave you in the handout.
Can you refer to the page that we're working off of? Can you find that spot there?
It was 1530.
It's not there. It would be on page 25, right before 1532, because this paragraph is 1530.030.
Page 25 of 41?
Yes, sir.
And my page 25, the very first line says public building, subsection F.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we on that page, please?
We're not. Excuse me. We're on this page, Jim, but it is in my handout. The change was not made.
Right, I'm just trying to find it in this 41 page.
Section 15.
Oh, it's not in there.
It's not in there. There's no change. It would fit right here, though.
No, it fit after.
Well, 1530.
Well, 1503, I guess it would go right here.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you have this in your package, so. All right.
And so that's going to go in here?
Yes, that whole paragraph will be added. The wording is, where the B3 district abuts a lot in a residential district or land occupied by an residential use permit, which should be by a residential use permit. That's the only change, and to a. Yeah.
But why is, if it's already somewhere, where is it?
All right, the pages you have in front of you for this text amendment is not the complete section 15 of the code. These are just the ones that were changed.
I see.
So since this statement wasn't changed, it doesn't appear in the text amendment, but now it will be inserted with the change from an to a.
Okay.
Okay. All right. 1536. Nothing else on 25. On page 27, there's a note for Beth there. Right in the middle of the page where you need to set the heading with the hyperlinks.
Yeah, that's just controlling me and Jim for that one.
Okay, you got that? That's just the hyperlink set because we added this new section, 1536.250 on wind energy. It used to be within solar energy, but we pulled it out to its own section, so the hyperlinks in the document need to be set properly for that.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then on the page 28, this is where we start talking about the TRC and the PZC.
I'll take that.
You're going to talk about that?
When you toss it back to me, yes, sir.
Okay. So Jim will explain that one when we toss it back. So that takes us through page 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. On page 33, it should start off with the paragraph B on the top. You see it says Institute of Transportation Engineers. That first parenthesis does not belong in front of Institute.
Mm-hmm.
right? So that's going to be taken out. Okay, page 34. Page 35, you see where we added the wind energy equipment statement, just to stand on its own. And 36. And I have no other changes. Here are the definitions that were removed from the sign section, page 37, and put into the front section definitions. Now there is one more, let me see where that would fit because it's not here. In your document, it would fit on page 37. This is a change that does not show in your document. But as I said before, there's change to the definition of shingle/suspended sign. We have to add it to the statement where it appears also in the procedure, which is section 1540-030. But there was no change made, but there needs to be a change. It reads, signs not included in total area allowance, all permanent signs permitted and regulated through the ordinance shall count as part of the property's total allowed signage, except building markers, flags, flagpoles, identification, identical wall-mounted directory of no larger than 3 square feet. Used to say suspended signs, now it will say shingle/suspended signs, no larger than 2 square feet. We're just making it shingle/suspended, so we cover all bases on both types of signs. Okay. And that is my last comment.
I've got a question as I'm looking through this. If you look at page 28 or 41, And this is obviously a sensitive issue because you're talking about height limits here, mm-hmm. and these are exceptions to height limits. And TRC shall consider, if you read that paragraph on B, it says, shall review height exceptions provided that the applicant for same can show the exception is architecturally and economically necessary, consistent with the current zoning district regulations, and consistent with the neighborhood in which the exception is located. When you look at page 32, which I believe is the application for this, and you ask for the justification statement. The justification statement, the first two are the same language, but the third one is not. And it seems to me that we should use the same language in the justification on the application. So it should be, I mean, the first one says architecture and economically necessary, that is point one. Consistent with the current zoning district regulations, point two. And then in the code, it says consistent with the neighborhood in which the exception is located, but that's not what three says. So I would just suggest that we replace three on the justification statement with the same language as we see in the code on page 28 of 41. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
So you want to use consistent with the neighborhood in which the exception is located.
Yeah, because that's what's in the code, and I think the justification on the application should be consistent with the language in the code.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Are we done?
Yes, I'm done. Your turn. I now hand it over to Jim.
Just a couple of points. First point is there's too many changes to go forward with a formal adoption. I recommend that we do this and we pick up the pieces again next month and do a broader review and report then. There's just too many little things to deal with. You all have a problem with that? Okay. TRC business.
Did you tell the council last week, 2 weeks ago?
I think we set expectation that they would see something in April. But again, we can always provide an update.
Yeah, I don't think council will have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we were inserting new provisions in the document that weren't there before. We're tweaking another 6 parts of it. I would be more comfortable just to know that everybody agrees with the document next time around about any more changes. TRC, TRC is pretty SOP, or standard operating procedure, for local governments. I was a member of a TRC for another town, and my experience is that they utilize TRC for subdivision plats quite a bit, maybe site plans as well. And I didn't look at the subdivision regulations. TRC may play a role in Curie Beach's subdivision regulations as well. But the point is this, while TRC may consist of DZC members, TRC is still by itself an independent public body. And as a public body, it's subject to the open meetings law. So rather, in the original draft, it said something like TRC equals PZC, and then everything else was PZC. It needs to be TRC instead, because TRC is doing the work because they are autonomous in their own entity. That's my main point about that. Okay.
Okay. So TRC stays TRC, its own unit. So if there was an issue for TRC, would we be able to discuss that during a PZC meeting, or would we have to have a special TRC meeting?
I don't think TRC gets into issues. TRC, in this particular case, is charged with reviewing an application for a hide exemption, period. If the applicant gets an answer that they don't like, they can appeal that to the BOA.
Okay, so reword my question. Could we review that application during a PZC, or would we have to have a special meeting?
No, you would have your own. That's why I set it up for Wednesdays, because that's when PZC meets. We'll just have it like a half hour
before.
But
okay.
It'll be a TRC meeting. Okay. There'll be a notice provided for it, and there'll be an agenda provided for it.
Chairman. Yep. Okay.
I had one question on the solar, Joe.
Yep.
There was a lot of kind of guidelines around the solar panels, but I didn't see anything about battery. I mean, Tesla makes a battery, and a few others make one you can hang on the wall, an exterior of the house. If I know technology changes, should there be any mention to that? Do we provide guidance, or
we hadn't before. All this change is taking that one statement about solar out of the wind energy.
Okay.
And making it its own solar section.
But if we are mentioning something about the kind of the panel installation, should we mention something about and I don't know what words we put in there, but you know, when you're putting battery banks on the exterior of the house, then it may not meet certain, you know, kind of the architectural of the situation of the neighborhood of the house. Should we have something there that? And I don't really know what to put, because it's changing for. Pretty rapidly.
You might want to take that into consideration, and certainly you can make that change now. I would simply point out that these are syntactical, grammar, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing substantive in here. We have to add a substantive to provision. Since we've tabled it, basically, we could go ahead and do that or keep it syntactical in nature.
If I can jump in really quickly, because I was actively involved in the writing of the solar component. This actually came about because of a change in state law that maybe about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the state passed a law regarding solar panels. And I think it's only about a paragraph long. But what we had to do is we had to create something for our code that was consistent with what the state requirements were. And then we went beyond that to make sure that, you know, we tried to keep things aesthetically pleasing and we're in a hurricane area, but we're still consistent with what the state code is. So, but you're absolutely right. We didn't look at battery. I mean, there wasn't any discussion at all about batteries at that particular time.
Yeah, it's becoming more popular. In fact, there's a house right on Ocean Boulevard that has four Tesla battery banks on the side of the house. Not saying that they're ugly, but someone may think they're ugly.
Would that be a building code issue, John?
Permit was issued for that. I'm not sure that building code addresses a battery hanging on inside the building, but the engineer designed the specs for the attachment of that battery.
Yep. It seems like we didn't really, we have a lot of things that are attached to a house or part of a house, but there's nothing there to address a battery bank. I mean, don't know if it would become an issue for you, John. That's the reason I mentioned it. You know, are we going to be sitting here having discussions in the future about somebody doesn't like the battery the neighbor put on that's met all the code requirements?
I mean, that's a great point. You know, if you want something, more descriptive down there, I think you should add it. I would assume that, a solar system is permitted, that includes all the pertinent parts to it.
Correct.
If it happens to be a battery one.
Anchoring the panels and having some panels of certain sizes and things that, but once it comes to batteries, there's no mention it. It's just that, it was just something I was thinking about.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, because we're looking to put a battery on our, any solar panels with battery too, and I think that's a very important thing.
Yeah.
And to make it aesthetically attractive as well as satisfy the
It's got Tesla
the engineering requirements. Well, that's interesting. Does that constitute advertising?
Yeah.
So, John, you're hearing this for the first time. I mean, do you want to just kind of take it and then report back next month? Kind of with your thoughts from that point?
They put the test
machine. It sounds like we need to add something in there about it.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's just, what is it though? I mean, what are we talking about doing? Prohibiting the use of them, which obviously probably isn't the case. Like with propane tanks, do we have anything specific that people are supposed to do with making those more aesthetically pleasing? Because, I don't think these battery packs would be any worse than a propane tank, right, from an appearance standpoint?
Oh, no, I'd have to go put my eyes on it, really.
Where is this one? I'd like to look at
it. If you go up Ocean Boulevard, it's on Carolina Beach, but it's a blue house. They did some remodeling. They got the panels. But if you're driving from the beach down there, you see it on the right.
Down
the four Tesla banks on the back of the house. Huh. It's like the corner house.
How high are they?
I mean, you can see them from the road.
How big are they?
They're probably 2 feet, two to 2.5 feet wide, maybe like 5 feet tall.
And how many are there? Four?
Four.
So again, could we have this as a discussion for next month and you get a chance to put your eyes on it?
Yeah.
Come back. And then obviously gives us time to think more about it too.
I mean, it's probably $100,000 worth of batteries, so it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm. So Beth, if we can add that to next month's agenda.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We're not looking at adding that to this text amendment, right? That would be a separate text amendment? Because that's a lot more than syntactical. That would put it into the technical realm.
Yeah.
Which, I don't think we're going to worry about it for this set of people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree. I think it's just something
to look at
because.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're going to finalize this next month and we'll have a discussion.
I think with technology changes and the way the battery situations are going, that we have to think a little. To have something, a placeholder or something there to have that discussion, John doesn't get caught flat-footed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I have a third one vessel system in town. I wonder if I missed the batteries. I'm sure they're not all batteries included.
Now, a lot of the solar systems here are not. It's only a few that I know that I've seen with batteries back up because they're so expensive.
Yeah, same thing with wind. You may have something 2 years from now that you're using wind power to keep your batteries charged.
Yeah, but at this point, we're not allowing wind
at
all.
Yes,
so,
totally.
Yeah. Attorney Eldred, could we, we come back to this TRC? So is this thought of now as another kind of formal committee?
It is another committee.
And so does it need to have the same kind of structure like HPC with, you know, chair and vice chair and so forth?
Well, I suppose you could. No, not necessarily. I mean, you can elect a chairman, and the trouble is TRC is going to meet, what, once every 3 or 4 years?
Right.
The creation of it is handled by the code, that sections that we're looking at, in the sense that it constitutes that the PCC members constitute the TRC members. And I think that under Robert's Rules of Order, we just would elect a temporary chairman whenever the need arises to be. I don't want to add anything else to this document. I think we've lived with this document a long time. I want to get it out there.
Yep. Okay. So you good with that too?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
All right. So, any more discussions on 15?
Just to wrap it up, so Jim is going to make those additional changes that we discussed, and it'll come back next month.
Yes, for a review and report. And I do want to emphasize, when we get to the review and report part, and I mention this because we have another review and report coming up next, that's not the time. There shouldn't be any tweaks. It should be good to go.
Yeah.
So please keep that in mind.
Okay. All right, so moving to the next agenda item, as Jim just described, we're going to go through the same review for the work that we did last month on the first five zones that we looked at from a permitted use standpoint.
Right, Chairman. These are the proposed text amendments to what we're calling Part 1 of the permitted use project. And I know that you all, in talking with Beth, it seemed like it was more efficient to go ahead and get a PZC review of these things on a step-by-step process. For example, we talked about Part 1 last month. We discussed it. We decided to reach a consensus on what those changes are. Let's look at that the next month so it doesn't get stale. So we'll do the PZC review report step-by-step based on how you all break up the review. And then we'll, with those done, they'll be, when we finish the last one, it'll be ready to transmit all of them as one set to council. And the council can decide, we can consider that. Mm-hmm. So tonight.
We'll be able to hold one here.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I did get the impression that council appreciates smaller batches as opposed to.
Well, council can tell us that.
Yeah, so.
I mean, we'll make sure council knows when it gets to that point. We'll make sure council is aware, and we can do it through your update, for example.
Yeah, we can let them know the first five are finished, and we're now moving on to the next with the end result being the inclusion of all zones.
Yeah,
what we present.
Say it takes three parts. Let's say you do the third part in your first of the month meeting, and the next month. Later that same month, you get up in front of council and say, we've finished our permitted use review. We broke it into three steps. We've got three documents that we'd like to merge into one and have it set up for a legislative hearing next month. And they can tell us then if they want to break it into smaller pieces or not.
Okay, yep.
But all I did for these permitted uses that you have in front of you, and again, they're labeled Part 1, again, which we discussed last month, all I did was take out, I just followed your all's instructions, and you can look for yourself where it's red are the proposed amendments. Is that the work they're doing on the mobile? So if there's any questions about this, we can discuss those. Again, they're straight from your instructions. If there aren't any issues to discuss, or when, if there are, when you finish discussing, you could entertain a motion to recommend to county council the adoption of these text amendments, and thereafter we'll take up the consistency statement. I'll just point out a couple of things on the consistency statement, which I think is the last. Is the consistency statement a standalone or part of? There it is. Looking at that big, thank you. Looking at that first main paragraph, if you recommend to council the adoption of these text amendments, the proposed consistency statement would, three lines down, starting on the right, PZC finds that the intent of the proposed amendments is to align permitted uses with existing conditions in those districts. Based on this finding, PZC concludes that the proposed amendments are consistent with the reference policy, which is quoted in the indented paragraph. Towns shall protect existing development through regulating new development proposals. So I think that's right on point. So if you'd like to entertain a motion to approve, to recommend adoption of the text amendments, and then a separate motion to adopt the proposed consistency statement, that would be all that's needed for this item.
Okay. All right, so first would be request for a motion to approve the five zoning changes we've made from a standpoint of permitted uses.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And then, as Jim had indicated, we need to do the same for the zoning consistency statement.
Before we go to that.
Okay.
One of the areas, or what do they call, districts that was not changed is RA1A. There were no changes in it. It was good when we discussed it last week. But RA1A calls it a single family dwelling. So since your document is nice and clean and ready to move forward.
We'll take care of it on the staff then.
Okay. I was going to say, we could change it in mine. Okay.
The document you're referring to says one.
The.
And if we change it in yours, would we be changing it back to single?
No, I had no change to that mine, and you had no change to it in yours. But since we went with the definition to say it's one, now that word single in RA1A is incorrect. Now there is a change. So either you got to take it, I got to take it, or staff's got to take it.
I have a motion right now to make that change to RA1A, and we'll take care of it.
You got it. Okay.
I have a motion to make that change.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And that is paragraph 1512020. Alpha.
Chairman, has there been a motion on the consistency statement? I've lost track.
We were starting to, and that's when we changed gears to address that issue. So in light of that change that's going to be made, do I have a motion regarding the consistency statement?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so that moves forward. All right.
The next agenda item is just part two of the permitted use review. And you've got a working copy that we did last time, just walk through what it changes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's move this.
So we're going to start on RA3 for this discussion?
Yes, RA3.
These are going to start getting a little bit harder because we have more commercial and business type of things in these.
Yep.
Ones that we had before. I think in RA3, you know, we just went through at an approval of a definition of tourist lodgings. And when I'm looking at RA3, can we replace B, C, and D with, you know, say that tourist lodgings are allowed? Or is a tourist lodging too restrictive?
Chairman, Mr. Goldberg, I apologize. What are we on?
This is on the RA3 district.
Okay, which item?
If you look at item B, boarding houses, guest houses, tourist homes, apartment houses, and so forth, seems to me we already have a definition of, where is it, that we just talked about?
Tourist lodging.
Of tourist lodgings.
The trouble is that definition includes bed and breakfasts, which by statute are up to 8 or up to 12, so with this provision saying
we have some ex-firemen here, don't we? Do something.
I'm doing it.
Put it out.
Agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry.